Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Joe podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
What a strike.
How cultured. How stylish. The elan of that clap was majestic. We've stuck with the format, two boys, one girl, the optimum the optimum format. Producer Laura joins us. Laura.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic, thank you. Very glad to have you with us. And Sean Hickey.
Hello.
How are you? It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Glad to have you here. Sound the emergency podcast klaxon. The Speaker of the House of Commons might be about to resign. Just to bring anyone who wasn't aware of what happened yesterday up to speed, here's a beautiful highlights package.
I have therefore decided to select the amendments both in the name of the Prime Minister and in the name of the Leader of the Opposition. In my opinion, the operation of Standing Order number 31, which governs the way amendments to the opposition day motions are dealt with, reflects an outdated approach which
on SNP opposition day, should the Labour Party's motion be carried, then the SNP's vote will not be held. Where on earth is the Speaker of the House of Commons? How do we bring him to that seat to explain to, how do we bring him to this House now to explain to the Scottish National Party why our views and our votes in this House are irrelevant to him?
I want it all to ensure they could express their views and all sides of the House could vote. As it was, in particular, the SNP were ultimately unable to vote on their proposition. I regret it and I apologise for how it's ended up. I do take responsibility for my actions.
You were warned by the clerks of the House that your decision could lead to the SNP not having a vote on our very own opposition day. As a result, we have seen the SNP opposition day turn into a Labour Party opposition day. I'm afraid that that is treating myself and my colleagues in the Scottish National Party with complete and utter contempt. And I will take significant convincing that your position is not now intolerable.
Sean, as the man who cut that highlights package together, what happened? What does it all mean?
So yesterday was the SNP's opposition day debate. There are 20 opposition day debates in the course of a parliamentary session, 17 of which are for the official opposition, Labour Party, and then 3 are for the other opposition parties. So the SNP had the opportunity yesterday to have an opposition day debate led by themselves, and they decided to have a vote on whether the UK should formally call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Their proposal was a lot lighter in words than what the Labour amendment was, but on the Labour amendment, it is unheard of for another opposition party to have an amendment to a motion
from another opposition
from
party.
From another opposition party.
Yeah.
And so Lindsay Hoyle decided, do you know what? Maybe unheard of, but we're going to start doing that now.
It's outdated.
Yeah. It's outdated. It's outdated. What you said. Exactly. Yeah.
I think Lindsay Hoyle's outdated. That's what I think. I think the man himself is washed.
Well, by the time this goes out, he could be outdated entirely.
I saw a comment. Someone was like, he's got strong, like, supply teacher energy on his, like, last nerve.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're sort of hamstrung by it, by events, right? Because, and the pod yesterday, we were like, well, he's just selected the Labour amendment. So that somewhat changes things, which obviously is probably the understatement of the week.
Yeah.
It changed things quite dramatically. Stephen Flynn was going ballistic. And let's talk about the politics of this, right? Because, yes, you're right. There's the parliamentary procedure. There's the convention. There's all of that. The reality of the situation, and I'm not trying to diminish the sincerely held positions by all of the MPs on Gaza, but the reality of the situation was that the SNP had laid a meaty political trap for the Labour Party, right? That they were essentially forcing them, put your colours to the mast, vote, are you going to back a ceasefire? Which anyone who's been paying attention to the Labour Party and Keir Starmer's shifting position on this, which has gone from, yes, I will endorse the collective punishment of a civilian population, which is a war crime, to there should be an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. By making his MPs vote, he's forcing them to either deny that ceasefire again or to vote for it, which a lot of them are facing huge amounts of pressure from their constituents to do, and therefore possibly have to resign from the Labour front bench for doing so. And the reason why the Tories and the SNP were so angry about this is because the Speaker has basically given the Labour Party a get out of jail free card and said, no, we're not going to, you don't have to be forced into backed into that corner. And that, I think, is partially why, some of the reason why anyway, the SNP and the Tories are so angry and walked out.
Do you think it was a little bit of Stephen Flynn throwing his toys out of the pram?
Yeah, I would say so. I can understand why he's angry, but I think the major losers in all of this are just the MPs in general. Do you know what I mean? Like when you see people who may have tuned in to any of the sort of news programming last night or this morning to see, oh, the MPs were debating Gaza, and then like 50 of them walked out. And they see Stephen Flynn going ballistic. I don't think, if you're not necessarily completely tuned in, to borrow Ed's phrase from the last pod, right? If you're a normie, you're not a political hobbyist, you're just looking at that going, what the fuck is going on? What is that about?
Additionally as well, though, I think there's, to think about what would have happened if the Labour amendment wasn't there, right? Where it was just going to be a Tory amendment to it that was going to effectively say, It wasn't going to say anything about ceasefire. It was going to say humanitarian pause again. And it was going to have all the meat that the Labour amendment had in it of Hamas have to give up Israeli hostages before any talks commence, all these kinds of things. The power of the Conservative Party voting on that, being whipped to vote on that amendment rather than voting on the SNP amendment, and the Labour Party potentially abstaining on that, would mean that the Tories would have gotten the better of everyone that day. But for Labour to have stepped in, the SNP, yes, have kind of gotten their way a little bit, but they just haven't had their day in the sunshine by being the folks that brought this to air and got it through, right? Because Labour weren't going to vote for it. There were, as you said, there was going to be possibly front bench resignations or whatever. So it's just every way that you look at it, there's so many different ways that it could have ended up, and the way that it's ended up has somehow made everybody look bad. Most of all, Lindsay Hoyle. He's just been completely hamstrung and done something that he
Welcome to British politics, everyone. Everyone loses, nobody wins. Apart from the Conservative Party, they always seem to win.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shut the fridge.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Laura, putting Lindsay Hoyle's best case forward for why this happened, what was his kind of justification for it? How was he defending the decision?
Lindsay Hoyle was defending the decision with his kind of argument of MPs' safety, which I believe he discussed with Keir Starmer in a meeting. And I think there is validity to that argument. We heard people last night like Charles Walker talking about that. We also heard Paul Bristow talking about that as well, saying that he was one of the first MPs to call for a ceasefire, but also faced quite horrible threats against himself and his family for doing so. Do you buy Lindsay Hoyle's argument that that is why?
I think that's genuine. To his mind, I think that's genuinely why he's done it. I really do. I think you see him talk all the time about sort of, you know, moderating the tone of the debate and, you know, trying to make MPs safer and things to be less vociferous and less hostile. I think that is part of it. Before I say what I'm about to say, I don't want to minimise any of the legitimate abuse, legitimate death threats, you know, the stuff that's happened to Mike Freer, the sort of the anti-Semitic targeting of his office and things like that, right? There is also a strain within this of MPs being quote-unquote abused or essentially receiving very, very strong criticism. Which I think is entirely legitimate, which the conversation around this is, you know, so basically what by having this fudge, by having this amendment, what we're saying is that these threats to MPs are actually now informing the democratic process. They're dictating the parliamentary agenda. Hmm. So on the one hand, that's cowing to physical, you know, to physical threats. And that obviously should not happen. That shouldn't be a way you can influence democracy. But on the other hand, when you say, yeah, well, all of our constituents are raging about this. So, well, why do you think they're raging about this? Mm-hmm. Because at present, none of you are calling for a ceasefire, apart from the SNP. And every single day, these people are watching videos of Palestinian men, women, and children being blown to pieces, being shot by snipers, being left to die in burnt-out cars. And they can't make head nor tail of the fact that you're sat there saying, you know, we won't call for a ceasefire. And so people are angry about that. That's legitimate. Mm-hmm. That's the legitimate part of the democratic process. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're unable to interrogate why your own politics, because you're so, call it arrogant, so mired in self-belief that you can't accept that your people who see it differently to you are appalled by your lack of moral clarity on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also, maybe I'm missing something, but... And again, not to, as you said, not to minimize any threats that are against MPs or anything, but to reference that as a reason why the debate on this particular subject has gone so low, how does selecting Labour's amendment to the original motion alleviate that pressure on MPs.
His explanation was that he wanted to put as wide a variety of amendments to the vote so that there was enough nuance, enough variety, so that there was a selection of people, so that rather than being forced into a necessarily binary choice mm-hmm. where the nuance of people's positions on this couldn't be expressed, he was giving them an outlet to be able to say, yes, I support 85% ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
I support 100% ceasefire. I don't support either.
I think it still comes down to the binary, though. If it didn't pass, people will still look at the MPs that voted against it and say, you voted against a ceasefire again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to look at the minutiae in paragraph X, Y, and Z of the amendment and say, well, I can understand why you didn't vote for it because of this particular passage. You know, it's still going to come down to a binary, whether it's going to be people lobbying the local community to then pile on to their local MP again. It's still, I understand it. I understand that, like, to add nuance to debate within Parliament, but I don't know if that's going to translate necessarily to the reception that it's going to get outside, you know?
Something that you mentioned, but I think we should delve into a little bit more, that Stuart Andrew, the government minister that we were just out interviewing, mentioned, is this meeting between Starmer and Hoyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the leader of the opposition has successfully politically lobbied and influenced the Speaker of the House of Commons, that is actually quite a significant problem, right? Like, that's a very serious problem, mm-hmm. because the Speaker is meant to be impartial. He's meant to be apolitical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's been MPs like Patricia Gibson and Paul Bristow who have made blatant accusations of there being, I think Patricia Gibson used the word blackmailing, and I think it's important to say that Keir Starmer has completely denied that that was the case of what happened. He used the word urged. We urged Lindsay Hoyle to consider our amendment.
Yeah. No one knows what they said in that room. You know, it depends. Mm-hmm. It depends who else was there in terms mm-hmm. in terms of the political aides. But I think if that's what happened, mm-hmm. it doesn't only just actually provoke questions about Hoyle, it provokes questions about Starmer mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, like how much is the leader of a party allowed to urge an independent speaker?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the line with that?
Yeah, great point. Great point. Do you think he'll resign, the Speaker?
Hoyle?
Yeah.
Ooh, hard to say. I think it was interesting earlier on here in Penny Mordaunt responding to Stephen Flynn, who was basically in the House. On Thursdays, they go through, the leader of the House goes through the business for the week ahead. And Stephen Flynn asked if there could be a vote of no confidence in the Speaker. And she seemed to have quite a lot of confidence in the Speaker. So that kind of dictates whether or not the House will be able to decide on it. Mm. He seems quite steadfast to stay at the moment. Like, it's constant apology. It's...
Yeah. He apologised immediately as well, didn't
mm-hmm.
he? But
mm-hmm.
there is this... This is from a tweet of friend of Poljo, Christian Kelgi, who tweeted about a previous no-confidence motion. He says, in 2009, 22 MPs backed an identical motion in Michael Martin. He resigned 2 days later. And if I go onto that page of the parliamentary website to see how many people have backed it now, we're at 64 supporters. In fact, so someone's just withdrawn. Philip Dunn, Conservative, has just withdrawn. Because when I looked before the podcast, it was 65. So he's withdrawn his signature. So that's three times as many.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting into a territory where 20% of the MPs don't have confidence in you, I think that's...
Yeah.
Your position kind of becomes untenable. But then we are in the shameless era of British politics. So maybe not.
Yeah. But I mean, he has got the support of Starmer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the most critical
allegedly.
Thing.
Allegedly has the support of Starmer.
It's probably the most crucial thing, isn't mm. it?
Do you think this is an issue that is going to divide the Conservatives? Because we've seen some Conservative MPs come out defending Hoyle and others saying that he's got to go.
Yeah, I think it will. And that's actually a really interesting point as well, because in the same way that the Speaker is meant to be impartial, it's not a good idea as an MP to go about bitching about the Speaker. It generally doesn't tend to go well. There's all that stuff with who's your man in the SNP who published his letter from the Speaker with John Nicholson.
Mm. Mm.
John Nicholson, yeah.
Friend of Paul Joe.
Another friend of Paul Joe. This whole story is about friends of Paul Joe. Do we have anything else we want to say about this? Is that the extent of our update? Any more for any more? Or will we just draw a little line under it there?
I think the biggest tragedy of it all is we are all now speaking about this procedural drama and no one has actually debated Gaza. And I think before last night, 66% of the country couldn't name who Lindsay Hoyle was, but 66% of the country did want a ceasefire. So
that's fucking fire. That's fucking fire right there, isn't it? Boom. Boom. Sean boy.
I'm sweet.
You happy? Let's keep it tight.
Yeah.
Let's keep it tight. Thanks so much for listening to this brief but important episode of the podcast. Fucking hell. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.